I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. As I shared with you last Wednesday night, my devotions have been in the book of Hebrews, and tonight I'd like to look at just one verse, and then we'll have about 15 after that. But one to get us started with that shares with you just a real powerful truth that jumps out at you when you're reading through. It's one of those verses that that when you read it, this phrase just says, boom, this is a truth that you can hang on to. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. It's a pretty powerful description of God, that he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. You know, the scripture reflects on God's faithfulness quite a bit. And so as I saw this, and so many verses came flooding back to me about faithfulness and God's faithfulness, and what I'd like us to do is take a look at God's faithfulness and then how that should in turn result in something on our part. So let's pray together and let's take a little tour through the scriptures that deal with God's faithfulness. Lord, tonight as we gather, we have worshiped you with songs. We have worshiped you with music. We have extended our hands. We have clapped our hands. We have lifted your name in this place for you, Lord. Oh, we've been blessed. Praising you blesses us, Lord. I'm not sure how that happens or how you created it that way, but it's wonderful that it does. That to worship you quietens and peace brings peace to our souls. Thank you for that. Guide us through these scriptures, Lord. Give us insight. Give us instruction. Help us not just to accumulate knowledge, but to look for ways to develop and respond to and put into practice these truths. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. That's the phrase that the author of Hebrews hangs out there for us as a linchpin. As a reason for much of the rest of this book, that God is faithful. We can hold fast the confession of our hope. We don't have to worry about the thing that we believe in. Why? Because God is faithful. What I'd like to do is show you some things about God's faithfulness. In fact, just to kind of do this little jet tour through scriptures, Revelation chapter 19 gives you one of the phrases, one of the ways that God is faithful. Let me give you five things that God is faithful to, or five ways God is faithful. Number one, God is faithful to His name. Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True." You see, faithful is His name. That whole passage of Revelation 19 describes Jesus returning on this white horse, and He's bringing with Him judgment. He's bringing with Him righteousness. And it goes on to say, with righteousness He judges and wages war. But do you see what His name is called? He has a name written on Him. Or he who sits upon this horse is called Faithful and True. He's so faithful that we nickname Him that. He's not faithful. That's not a nickname like the big tall Texan they call Shorty. Or the guy with no right arm, or not guy with no right arm, they call Righty. Or the guy with no left arm, they call Lefty. No, this isn't the opposite. This is one of those nicknames that you call somebody because he is what it is. And so we have this first thing, that he's faithful to his name is faithful, and he's faithful to that name. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, when God was given the law to the children of Israel, one of the things that he declared, one of the things that was declared about him, it says, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." And so the second thing is that God is faithful to His promises. When God gives His word, He keeps His word. He says He is faithful. He keeps His covenant. He keeps His loving kindness. He's the kind of God that if He gives you His word, you're great, 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 great. I'm going to run out of grace before we run out of time. Grandson, can count on it. Thousandth generation. He's faithful to His promises. In our day, that kind of faithfulness is rare. Used to be, you could shake someone's hand and take that to the bank. That kind of faithfulness is difficult for us to fathom at times. The kind of faithfulness that a man would, you know, would say to the great grandson of his best friend, "No, sure, you can use my boat anytime. I promised your grandfather that any of your family could come over anytime you wanted to." That kind of faithfulness that goes down through generations. In 2 Timothy chapter 2:13, you're going to see another way that He's faithful, and that is He's faithful when we're not faithful. And to me, this is an encouraging one. It says in 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." Remember what we said His name was earlier? Faithful. And so even when we mess up, notice I didn't say even if we mess up. Can anybody identify with that? Even when we mess up, He is faithful. He is faithful when we are not. And then this next one is 1 John 1:9. It's one of my favorite verses. In fact, in the Awana books, when they interview me as a missionary for their one of their sessions, they'll ask me my favorite verse. And this is consistently the one that I will write in their book. And it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so He's faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to forgive us. And then the last thing is in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, is, you know, when we is this issue of temptation. And it's one that we hang on to sometimes. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Now, I had to cull this list down. I had over a dozen things I was going to share with you about God's faithfulness, but I thought I would just share some of the top five, some of the key elements of how God demonstrates His faithfulness towards us. And I think going back to what we've read in Hebrews chapter 10, you will agree with me that God is faithful. In response to that, I think there's a response that we have. If God is faithful, then we should be faithful. Do you agree with that? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2. And you're going to see that Paul, he's speaking in this instance about his role as an apostle, his role as one who has been entrusted with God to carry the gospel to other places. But I believe that we can extrapolate this out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." That word trustworthy in the Greek is translated over 40 times faithful and a handful of times trustworthy. It's the same word that we found that God is faithful. In the Hebrews 10, where it says God is faithful, it's this word. And so it says that a steward should be found faithful. And I believe that even though in this case he's specifically speaking of a steward of the mystery of God, I believe that every believer is a steward, has been entrusted with God with some stewardship. And what is a steward? A steward is someone who's been trusted by someone else with his goods or with his possessions or with his goal. He's basically been given a job to do, to oversee. A modern day word for it might be manager, but it doesn't quite carry the same weight of a steward. He manages the property of someone else. He orders the affairs of someone else. In Luke chapter 12, you don't have to go there, but in Luke 12, we see this definition of Jesus uses the word steward often in his parables and describe stewards who were given instructions. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do look at this one because he talks about a wise steward. In Luke chapter 12, verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." Do you see this stewardship? Master has actually given him the charge, the care of feeding his other employees or his other, in that day, their slaves. Definitely taking care of someone else. Now, what does a steward have to do? Well, according to this, he needs to be faithful. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing what he was told to do when his master shows up. There are employees who work when the boss is around, and there are employees who work faithfully, no matter if the camera's on or not. You know, in today's workplaces, that was a huge deal when they brought in cameras, and the bosses can look on it, and it drives employees mad. You know, no, they shouldn't be spying on us, they shouldn't be snooping on us, and that's a huge debate. But as faithful stewards, it shouldn't matter to us if they do or if they don't. Because we're going to do our job whether they're watching us or not. We're going to do what they've given us to do, whether they're sitting there overseeing it or not. A few years ago in the cabinet shop, we had making a bunch of cabinet doors, and it got so much that we couldn't keep up with orders, and Andre put on a second crew, and they were working in the night. That was interesting. And he bought some cameras that he could access through the internet. And if he needed to be able to log in and check and see what they were doing or whatever at 2 o'clock in the morning, making sure they were working, made them mad. I always wondered to myself, you know, did it make them mad because it was an issue of not trust or was it an issue of they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing? Because it was interesting, the guys who worked the 8 hours in the daytime, the guys who worked 8 hours in the nighttime didn't get the same amount of work done. So, steward needs to be faithful. The dictionary defines faithful as one who is firm in a belief to the truth or to the duty, one who is reliable, dependable, honest, loyal. Listen to this one. One who is consistent in the performance of duties or service. Steady, not fickle. Andre was describing to me an employee that he has recently hired in the recent weeks that he said, this young man is the kind of guy that when he gets through with whatever job that you've given him to do, he doesn't go and sit down and wait for you to show up and tell him what else he needs to do. He starts picking up tools or cleaning up or looking for something to do, looking for things to do. And Andre's comment was that young man's going to go a long way in life. Because he is showing faithfulness. He's understanding that, you know, he's being paid to do a job and he's being paid to fulfill and to make his boss be profitable and make his company be productive. And so take all of that stuff about employment and put it on us as believers and stewardships. And think about this for a minute. I said to you a while ago that I believe that all Christians are stewards. Now, we may not all be stewards of the mysteries of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, but what are some stewardships that God has given you? Well, if you're a father or a mother, you're a stewardship of a family. You're a steward of a family. You have a family that God's called you to be faithful to instruct. And God gave very clear instructions to fathers and mothers and how they are to instruct and to guide and to teach and to lead. If you're a young person, you might think, well, I don't have a stewardship. Sure you do. You have the stewardship of learning. You have the stewardship of taking the knowledge that you're going to need to be able to be even more faithful and more productive to the Lord in the future. Remember what it said in 1 Corinthians 4:2? It is required that stewards be found trustworthy, faithful. It's required. And we've been given these stewardships, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a opportunity for reaching out with the gospel, whether it's a Sunday school classroom, ministry, worship team, cleaning, whatever it is, family, these are things that we need to be faithful to. Now, there are some things also, I believe, that we need to be faithful to, specifically, that are listed in the Scriptures. Let me give these three things to you that came to my mind as I was looking at this. One is in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says that the things which you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What things was he talking about? He was talking about the words of God that had been given to him that could be entrusted to faithful men, that they could entrust it to faithful men, they can entrust it to faithful men. God's Word. We need to be faithful to God's Word and be able to communicate that to others. It also says, and we started in Hebrews 10, if you go back to Hebrews 10 where we very first started, the very next verse, in this context of faithfulness. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We need to be faithful to God's work, those deeds that he's given us. I love the scripture that says that God ordained some works before the creation of the world that I should do. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God ordained, foreordained that we should do. That means there's some stuff I need to do. There's some stuff that's got my name on it. Something that he has for me to do. And Jim has shared that often in the past, that understanding that God's got something for him to do that he can accomplish, that's for him to do. And I think some of that's the Devo, and some of the training that you do that inspire other people. What is it that God has for you to do? Whatever that is, you need to be faithful to that special work that he has. And then in the same context here, verse number 25, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I believe we need to be faithful to God's people. We need to be faithful to God's people. We need to be faithful to God's word. We need to be faithful to the work or the stewardship he's given us. We need to be faithful to God's people. And look, the context there is encouraging one another. I don't just mean showing up at church. I mean noticing when somebody's going through a difficult time and making that phone call or reaching out or encouraging. Not forsaking some people who are, not forsaking getting together, obviously, but encouraging those who are maybe bogged down with cares and worries. Let me bring you to the fourth area in my three-point sermon. And that is this, that faithfulness needs to be developed. You know, faithfulness is not natural. It's not. In Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 20, there's an interesting verse where the writer of Proverbs says, it's hard to find a faithful man. I know some single ladies say it's hard to find a man, period. But look at, but even more so, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? What's that old saying? They're few and far between, something like that. People will tell you how faithful. I see this a lot in the political realm. And they'll tell you how wonderful you are, and you know, you're they're your best friend. Especially when you get elected to an office, and not so much on my level, but I've seen it in, you know, the mayorships or state representatives or state senators, and people want to take credit for getting you elected. You know, like they single-handedly got you every single vote you got. Yeah. And they were your best, hardest worker. But you do one thing that makes them a little bit upset, and next thing you know, they're the next guy's best worker, you know, telling him how great they are. And many men proclaimed his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Paul said in Romans chapter 7, when he was describing his own nature, he said, man, I struggle with stuff. I do stuff I don't want to do. The things I hate are the things I find myself doing. There's no faithfulness in me. And so that's my point, is that being faithful is not our nature. Being selfish is our nature. Being faithful is something that needs to be developed. And so I found a couple of scriptures I think that will help us. The first one is this. To develop faithfulness, you have to practice. Just like anything else. If you're going to play the trumpet, you got to practice. If you're going to march in the band, you got to practice. If you're going to be faithful, you need to practice. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I think we need to learn how to practice discernment. We need to practice knowing what's useful or helpful or beneficial and what's not. Is this beneficial or is it not? Scripture says those who have their senses trained through practice to discern good and evil. It takes practice to develop faithfulness. It means we try and we fall down and we get up and we try again, and we fall down and we get up and we're faithful again, and we continue to develop that over and over. The second thing is not just practice, but it does take time. And this is the scripture that I really felt to conclude with in Psalms chapter 37, because it's a powerful scripture of how faithfulness is cultivated, is developed, shows the time issue. Psalms 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate it. Those two words, dwell and cultivate, to me speak of something that's long term. You can't dwell in a hotel, not for long. I mean, it's not a dwelling place. Ask any of the FEMA evacuees if a hotel is a dwelling place, and they'll tell you, absolutely not. It's not a long-term dwelling place. But we can dwell in God's faithfulness. We can cultivate God's faithfulness. We can see it develop. As we dwell in God's land, as we feed on His faithfulness, you know, that's the alternate translation, feed on His faithfulness. And here's the thing to remember, you are what you eat. If you eat God's faithfulness, you'll become faithful. You know, every steward, and this is what I said that we were a while ago, every steward has to give an account. Luke 16 tells a story of a man who had been entrusted by his master to watch over his master's affairs. His master got wind that he was stealing, got wind that he wasn't being faithful. He called him on the carpet. He said, bring me the books. And he fired him, ran him off. Why? Because he wasn't being faithful. Every steward will give an account. You remember what Jesus said to one of the churches in the book of the Revelation? I think it was to the church of Smyrna. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. God's called us to be faithful. And as stewards, we have the opportunity to be or not be. One of the most famous parables that you know of is in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus talks about the talents that were given to stewards, to servants. He gave one, he gave one, three, he gave one, five. And he went away for a season and he came back, and the guy who had five had been faithful and had developed those five into 10. The guy who had three had been faithful and had developed those three into 6. The guy who had one was not faithful. He took what God gave him and he buried it and he turned his back on his responsibilities. The ones who were faithful heard something beautiful. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That is what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. When we're in that casket, that's what we want to hear. Not, hey, look, he's alive, but we want to hear, well done. Not from the voice of anybody around us, but from the voice of the one who entrusted us. And so all of this idea of faithfulness develops from one central truth. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, God is faithful. All of our life, all of our Christian experience, all of our maturity, development as believers and as disciples hinges on this one thing. Go back to Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, that you are faithful to it, even to the 1,000th generation. When you give your word, you never fail, and you always hold true. Help us to be like you. We sing to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Help us to be like you, faithful. Help us to develop it. Understanding is not just going to happen, but that as we dwell in you and as we feed on your faithfulness, we'll see this faithfulness being cultivated and developed in our own lives, that we might hear the well done. Lord, I pray that as we are in this place tonight, we'll examine our hearts and lives and see. We'll hear you saying, you've been faithful in this. That's good. You've been faithful in a little thing. I'm going to trust you with more. But I also pray that you'll help us to see the areas where you would say to us, you haven't been very faithful there. I know you won't say it condemningly, Lord. I know that you won't judge us with a punishment of death. But I do know that you can help us to pick up the slack where we have not been. So Lord, lovingly, would you do that to me and to us, that we might truly hear those words, well done, well done, good and faithful. To be like you, Lord, that's what we want. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.